Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, State Senator James Settlemyer, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Trey Abney, Ray Bacon, and James Smack. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary Bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program State Senator James Settlemyer. Pleasure to have you here, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Sam.
One of the bills that you've been working on has caused quite a brouhaha, if you'll pardon the pun, which is the craft beer bill. Would you explain to us exactly what's going on here and what your position is?
Sure. Last session, the craft brewers, through Senator Don Gustafson, brought forth a bill trying to increase their barrel limitations. They are limited under Nevada law to how many barrels they can actually produce before having to shift their entire market through a distributor and become a full-fledged brewer. So they're limited currently at 15,000 barrels. There's a couple of the brewers that are close to that limitation. They've asked for an increase last session. There wasn't enough time to get it done, so I told them I'd introduce a bill for them, and we did. We tried to get them to 45,000 barrels. Unfortunately, there was a fair amount of resistance. We've compromised and said 30,000 barrels, and we lowered their retail production from 15 to 10, so the amount they could actually sell at retail. But they're okay with that as part of the compromise. We'll see how that bill goes through the session. There's a lot of other things they'd like, but again, we're trying to get something passed and not upset the apple cart too much.
And the Beer Wholesalers Association has been very much against this.
There's been a few. Some are for it, some are against it, and I always find that kind of interesting. One of the individuals I talked to said, listen, the way we view it is, why not let these small guys take the chance, put out the capital risk, and if they succeed, we'll buy them out. And if they fail, great, they've taken the risk and failed. Some of the other ones, though, are saying, no, you're competing with us, and we just don't think it's right. If you want that, you should be a full-fledged brewery.
And it's interesting because that's the way big mining works in the state of Nevada, which is that they don't go and do the exploration for the most part. They let the smaller companies do that. And then if the smaller companies are successful, boom, they come in and buy them.
Which is, again, kind of the standard routine for businesses, to go ahead and let the smaller guys, small businesses, take the risk. And if they win, they get bought out and get a pretty good reward. And if they fail, oh, well.
Well, it's interesting with the liquor industry and the three-tier system where you can't do all three of the functions. So you can't produce the beer, be the distributor of the beer, and be the retailer of the beer. That was the same system that they wanted with the marijuana industry for recreational marijuana. But when the liquor industry realized how many federal licenses they had, they backed away from that very quickly.
I believe you're absolutely correct, because they didn't want to risk losing those federal licenses. And in light of the current political realm with the sessions, that was probably a very good decision.
Senator, you know, the Las Vegas Review-Journal did an editorial on your craft beer legislation, and they came down pretty hard on the wholesale liquor lobby because the restrictions that the lobbyists are trying to put on have nothing to do with consumer protection. It has nothing to do with public health. It's just about protecting their industry and their interests. And I just think that maybe this is a lobby that's become too powerful for the good of Nevada. And what do you say to that?
You know, there's a lot of lobbies around here that I call oligopolies. You know, they're oil kind of realm.
Oligopolies?
Oilopolies, oiligopolies. And that term comes from the idea where you have three or four people that control an industry. And in the oil industry, it's that way. We had the same thing, as you know, just prior to last session in the realm of taxis. A few guys kind of controlled everything. And liquor is somewhat the same way. We have a few that control quite a bit. And in that respect, those are always problematic, to say the least. The three-tier system has worked in the state of Nevada for decades. I remember bills where people tried to tamper with the three-tier system. I've never seen so many lobbyists in my life in that building. That even dwarfed, in my opinion, the fight we had with the taxi cabs, the number of people that came out of the woodworks on that bill.
On what bill are we speaking of?
There was a bill that was it was my second session. So I think you'd have to go back to 2007 2009. And there was a bill trying to tamper with the three-tier system and Assembly, Commerce, and Labor. And there was 45 lobbyists that got up and testified on the bill. And I'm just sitting here going, unbelievable. But as far as the system, I think we just continue with the system and we make some tweaks to it in order to make sure that small businesses have the ability, the elbow room to expand and to grow. The other bill that's somewhat similar to that is I have one for the distillers. We have an entity in Douglas County, Bentley, Nevada, who wants to get into distilling in a large way. And he's put forth millions of dollars right now renovating an old mill in Douglas County for that purpose. And it's going to be a beautiful, fantastic project. But again, I think he's going to put $6, $7 million in this just in the building. In that respect, he needs to have a little bit higher threshold in order to try to someday maybe be able to recoup those funds. And we're trying to work that bill as well at the same time.
And don't you also have a situation where a brewing company has they have three current locations, but they're only allowed to sell retail out of two of them?
Correct. That law, we're not touching that one. However, there is a bill in Assembly, Commerce, and Labor seeking to tweak that bill or that section of Nevada Revised Statutes. I don't necessarily agree with that one. We'll see if it makes it out of the Assembly. There's a lot of people that are upset about it on all sides.
Because?
They're upset at the concept of losing locations. They feel it's a reduction in brewing because, again, it takes them down, I think within the bill it took them down to like 2,000 barrels at the retail location, which would require a lot of them currently to shut down. And that's very problematic to tell a business, oh, by the way, as of June or January or whatever the effective date is, you have to shut down. Either, you know, cease your production to a ridiculous level or get out. You know, again, it's very hard to grow businesses. And then once you grow, to have the government step in and say no, that's very problematic to me.
To say the least. Let's take a break. More with State Senator James Settlemyer when we come back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation from Carson City with State Senator James Settlemyer.
Senator, a while back when you appeared on Newsmakers, you mentioned that you might consider running for Congress in Congressional District 2 if Mark Amaday did not run for re-election. It looks now that he wants to come back to Carson City. perhaps run for attorney general. How do you fit into this? Would you still consider running for Congress with Amede coming home to Carson?
You know, all that talk is premature. I think that Amede, though, at the same time, is doing an excellent job back in D.C., and I think he's having a pretty good time being in the majority and trying to get things done. I understand some arguments are funner than others, and there are days that he probably doesn't enjoy it, just as there are days across the mall at the legislative building that it can be problematic. As far as myself, me and my wife, we have some young kids, and I'm okay here doing the job that I'm doing now for a little while.
So you would not throw your hat in the ring if the seat became open?
I'm not interested at this time.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. In committee, sure. You were the lone no vote. Mm-hmm. How come?
I was a lone vote, no vote on the Equal Rights Amendment. It is time barred. I'm a procedural type person. The concept of bringing forth something that has been barred by time by over three decades just didn't seem proper to me.
You know, Senator, you had a bill that would open up primaries to all voters, mm-hmm. no matter if they're Democrat or Republican. And with a Democratic majority, this did not even get a hearing. And then this morning in today's Reno Gazette Journal, there's a story about Attorney General Adam Laxalt's set of bills that are also not getting a hearing by the Democratic majority. What does this say about the partisanship in this session? And just remember last session when you guys were in charge, the Republicans, Senator Roberson split the House to put all the Democrats on one side and all the Republicans on another. Is this kind of payback, or is it over the top partisanship?
Well, I think it's hyper-partisanship. I think all bills should be given a hearing. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll be given a vote. But when I was chair of Commerce and Labor, every bill that wanted a hearing got a hearing. And I think all ideas deserve hearings. After all, we've been sent here by our prospective constituencies to represent them. Doesn't mean you agree with them, but out of respect, you hear a bill. And I heard bills that I disagreed with last time. But unfortunately, that's not happening this time. But as far as like the seating chart, that goes back to the days of Raggio. Raggio had friends, he had the bride and the groom. So he had either he sat on the left or he sat on the right. That was the way he did it. And if you go back through the times, that's kind of been how it's been done. Republicans have always been left and right, and their other side seems to intermix people somewhat.
Okay, you as a committee chairman would hear all bills, but what about other Republicans? Haven't Republicans refused to hear Democratic bills in the past?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm not saying that it's right of either party to do. I just personally took the attitude that all bills deserved a hearing. And I remember getting grief from some of even my own colleagues saying, well, even that a bill hearing, why? You don't agree with it because it's the right thing to do. And most of the chairs I knew from the Republican Party, if an individual wanted a hearing, they were usually granted them.
Okay.
Let's change topics here. I'm hearing, you know, because there's so much bluster in the leadership on both sides, that you are the person that is actually going around and trying to get things done. What things are you working on that have not gotten a lot of publicity?
I don't know. I always just put my head, you know, nose to the grindstone and try to work on things. So there are various numbers of bills that are important. They'll affect constituencies during the campaign cycle. We had an individual that I saw that wasn't able to vote that day because they couldn't stand to wait in line that long. And I didn't realize that at that time, or currently under Nevada law, the only person who can pull someone out of line and put them to the front of the line is the head elections official, no one else. They can't even establish a protocol to allow disabled voters to come to the head of line if they can't wait long enough. So Senate Bill 115 was introduced. It just got passed out of the state Senate. So, you know, it's good to see legislation like that pass. There's other bills that are similar to that where you just kind of work behind the scenes and get things done. The worst problem in politics is if you ever identify too many things as, oh, this is what I really like about a bill I have, that all of a sudden becomes the hostage, the target. And so a lot of times I've learned over the past, just do your work, keep your nose to the grindstone, and get things done.
You mentioned Jeff Sessions earlier in the broadcast. And are you concerned that there's that much money in the budget allotted to recreational marijuana?
I disagree with the concept of the money being, it should be an addition. It shouldn't be part of the general budget. Because if something goes wrong, if we have a legal challenge by Sessions or whoever, and we lose those funds, then we have a huge hole in our budget and we have to come back here. Then again, there's also discussion if someone decides to change the Affordable Care Act at a certain aspect, we may have to come back here anyways just for Medicaid funding.
And are you looking potentially at doing what Colorado has done, which is setting up a format that if they do make recreational marijuana illegal, that all recreational marijuana in Nevada would then become medical marijuana?
That I don't. I haven't looked at that at all. All I know is that our current concept of medical marijuana, in my opinion, is very much recreational because it doesn't exactly have a high bar in order to get a doctor's prescription. I have several constituents. One said they got it because they had a headache. And so if the ability exists like that, in many respects, I consider our medical to be pretty much recreational in some aspects. But I also, though, still agree there are definitely individuals out there who medically can benefit from cannabis.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Trey Abney is here, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Ray Bacon is Executive Director of the Nevada Manufacturers Association. And James Smack is the former Nevada Republican National Committeeman. So, Ray, I'm going to start out with you here. The community college presidents the other day came out opposing the move to shift power from the Board of Regents. What's going on here?
AB 331 is the bill that would take and make a separate system for the community colleges, a separate governance system. There's two key features in the thing. Number one, it would have a local board that oversees and is kind of the governance board for each of the community colleges. And number two, something we've never had in this state, it creates an accreditation committee which consists of five from the State Board of Education, five from this new community college board, and five from the Board of Regents. And as you well know, accreditation has been a nightmare in this state for decades, so that would be a quantum leap improvement. So.
Obviously, we've had, and they came and testified, former presidents of the community college system coming up in favor of saying, you know, we need to split this off because the balance of money that goes to the universities versus the community colleges has been so disparate. What are your thoughts on where this is heading?
Well, it's a tall order, right? And the idea, right, is that NSHE, the Nevada System of Higher Education, is very university-centric, right? And so the community colleges get swallowed up. And the former president, community college presidents argue that they're not allowed to speak up when they're in the system because, you know, their thumb is on them. Now, I am sympathetic to those concerns. You know, I tell folks all the time that the vast majority of our workforce, the only time they will ever be on UNR or UNLV's campus is to go to a football or basketball game, right? Most of our workforce is going to be trained through the community college system or other places. And so it makes sense. I think it's a good discussion to have. I'm still not convinced that creating a whole separate bureaucracy and a whole separate state department is the way to go, but it is certainly a conversation that needs to be had. And, you know, are we training our workforce and are our funds going to the correct place for the future workforce?
Okay, but how do you ever solve this if you don't break them away?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know if you just need more or if they're allowed to go with their own budget, you know, and let each institution come forward and say, this is what we need, and let the legislature do that. I'm not sure the answer to that, but I don't know if creating a whole separate bureaucracy gets to the problem.
It'll be a pretty thin bureaucracy that they're creating.
Yeah, I kind of concur with Trey's comments. I'm not sure that creating a whole new bureaucracy is the answer here, but the community colleges need to be able to have a voice in the legislature to make sure that they get their budgetary concerns heard as well.
It was interesting. We have a lawmaker, Jason Pearson, the speaker, wants training for Nevada School Board trustees, and we're going to do a show later this week with the chief financial officer of the Washoe County School Board, or Washoe County School System, because we have this $40 million, in quotes, surprise deficit. Your thoughts on that, Trey, and this training?
Well, so I mean, I like the idea of training school board members. I also like the idea of training 63 members of the legislature in basic economics. I think we could talk about that as well, basic tax policy and how it works when you keep squeezing the private sector, and that money has to come from somewhere, and it usually results in fewer jobs. So that's fine. I mean, school board members need to be trained, but for one set of politicians to point to another set of politicians and say you don't know what you're doing is a little...
Pot beats kettle.
Isn't this where we go back to Sig Rogich and say, thank you very much for term limits?
Maybe. I mean, it does seem to be gravitating an awful lot more power toward the governor and those that have some experience versus those that don't. And the ones that are coming in now are, it seems like every time we have a new legislative session, we have 15 to 18 to 20 new legislators that are, it takes them half the session just to get their sea legs under them and figure out what's going on, and the other half of the session just catching up on everything they missed in the first half of the session. So I still believe in term limits is a good thing, but we need to also maybe look at changing that to maybe a cooling off period. Serve 12, have to take 6 off, and then they're eligible to serve another 12 or something like that. Do something like many states do with their governor positions. Like if you're called up in Oregon, John Kitzhaber had been governor for a couple terms, had to take at least one term off before he could run again. I believe more in the cooling off period thing than I do just strict limits where after 12 years you're gone and you can never run again, because there are some experienced legislators that could take a cooling off period come back down the road.
Let me get back to this issue of school board trained. The budget in Clark County is $2.3 billion. There is none of those 7 people that have the background to be the overseers of a $2.3 billion budget. We're lucky at the State Board of Education that Elaine Wynn is the chair. She's the only person on any of the school boards that's got the level of experience needed for that size of an operation. So I'm not even sure that we should have elected school board members, but getting them some fundamental training is a quantum step in the right direction. And I agree with Trey. Legislators, the 63, ought to be trained too.
Well,
and they do that
especially
one day.
Basic economics.
Well, and to be fair, you do have former legislators coming to the legislature early in the session to give some background.
But it's a one-day session,
right? But mm-hmm. it's not enough. The battle royal, and we'll get more into this on our next program, seems to be going on between the distributors and the craft beer industry. That's quite a fight. Give me about 10 seconds from each of you on this.
Well, right, it's a 3-tier system, and we separate wholesalers, distributors, and retailers. And the idea is that the wholesalers want to be able to distribute other people's beer, and that's how they make money. And the people that brew their own beer want to sell their own beer.
Yeah, I really haven't even given that much thought to the issue. I'm sorry.
Okay, Ray?
Being a non-drinker, the 3-tier system needs to go.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
On our next broadcast, Sean Whaley, political reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll see you then.